Welcome to the Lending Forward podcast, brought to you by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. This is your home for real discussions about the mortgage and housing industry. Our hosts are here bringing you firsthand accounts every week from people at the heart of the business. And we're chatting with professionals from all corners of the industry as they help cultivate transparency around the future of the industry we love. Together, we are lending forward all we know to you. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Let's dive in. Welcome to our first podcast of 2024. I am so excited for our guest today. We have the CEO and founder of Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, Brian Holland, along with our Chief Lending Officer, Emily Gardner. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Anna. We're glad to be on Lending Forward.
We are so excited to have you. We have so much to talk about. I'm going to kick it off because I think, Brian, I think your story is, you know, just phenomenal. Atlantic Bay has almost been around for 30 years, which is phenomenal. Take us down a little trip down memory lane and, you know, let us know, how did the company start? Give us your story. Where did Atlantic Bay come from?
Well, Hannah, when you say we've almost been around 30 years, it makes me feel old. But it's a funny story how I got into the mortgage business. I'll say that really quickly. I was waiting tables at Red Lobster, just graduated. I waited tables throughout my Old Dominion University finance degree career. And I was waiting tables at Red Lobster. And one day, one of the managers called and said, "Hey, I need to talk to Brian." I went and picked up the phone and said, "Hey, Dave, what's up?" He said, "Well, you can't tell anyone, but I'm trying to get out of the restaurant business and get in the mortgage business. And I think you'd be great." And I said, "Why do you think I would be great?" And he said, "Well, you've got a degree in finance. You just graduated and you sell more strawberry daiquiris than any of my other servers. So you know the numbers and you can sell them. So come on in." So I went in to that organization and kind of looked like a fly by night type place. And basically convinced them to hire me and became a glorified telemarketer. And then ended up just calling all day, basically, and waiting tables at night. And then one day I had someone that was actually wanted to do a loan, and then did another and another. And 3 months later, I was assistant branch manager. And then 3.5 years later, we opened up Atlantic Bay. So the reason for opening Atlantic Bay was really a cultural fit. I appreciated the opportunity that I had. I think I did a nice job of going to my manager at that time and telling him my plans. And, you know, this is when I'm going to stop production here and I'm starting the company here. And so I was very transparent about what we were doing, but just felt like I wanted an opportunity to do something my own and better from a cultural standpoint, mainly because they were doing a nice amount of business, just not exactly the way that I was hoping to do it.
That's awesome. We don't have to say 30 years. We can say 8 if you feel better that way.
Well, 8, yeah. It's just phenomenal.
Emily, how did you meet Brian? How did you learn of Atlantic Bay? Walk us through, because I know you started on the op side, did you not?
In the beginning of my career, yes. You know, I got into the business in 2002 on the operations side and then progressed to the sales side. But I met Brian through some folks that had left the company that I was at. I was at a big bank and come over to Atlantic Bay, and they had said what an amazing company it was and how the culture was phenomenal. And they were looking for, Brian was looking for someone to help grow realtor and builder business and expand their marketing. And we met, and it was a long process. I don't know if you remember, Brian. I feel like you were probably over meeting with me over a period of 6 months, but I joined Atlantic Bay in the fall of 2007. And it was definitely one of the best decisions I made at one of the most challenging times in the industry, but it was a great move for me. And it's been wonderful. I'm 16 years. Time at Atlantic Bay.
When Emily came over, it was just a huge boost to our eventual success. And we had a lot of fun times. We did a lot of recruiting together.
We did.
Together and mm-hmm. tell the story. And, you know, what we, kind of who we are and how we got to where we were, and then who we wanted to be, because Emily had at the time, we, you know, we weren't doing as much purchase business as we wanted, and Emily was really an expert at marketing and, you know, realtor relationships and builder relationships, so that really kind of catapulted us to the next level when she came on board.
Yeah, and Atlantic Bay was really attractive. You know, at the time, you know, the big banks were not performing very well. And I worked with, I was a sales manager and had a, you know, a number of mortgage bankers, about 45 mortgage bankers working with me. And it was just really hard to see the struggles of getting things done, and the culture was suffering. And Atlantic Bay had something really special going on that I knew would be really, really attractive to all the folks, especially at that time when they needed a, you know, a company that had stability and had future growth in a time where lots of companies were closing their doors. So it was a good, match. And we did have a lot of fun traveling around and recruiting.
Oh, I bet. I can only imagine. And, you know, you're right. I think you touched on, you know, lenders and other companies kind of struggling and keeping the culture and keeping people, you know, happy and motivated and things like that. Now, again, like, we've been around for so long, you've kind of seen the ebbs and flows of the industry. You've been through, you know, really great times, and you've been through, you know, some really tough times. And I think a lot of people would say that this is one of those really tough times where, you know, unfortunately you're seeing companies struggle. You're seeing companies merge or, you know, get acquired. And on the flip side, it seems like Atlantic Bay tends to grow and thrive in these down markets. What is that secret sauce? What are you doing?
Well, I think that it all goes back to the people, right? We just got great people, and we really focus on living out our core values every day. I think a lot of companies have their mission statement, the core values on the wall, and, you know, that's great. But we really want to live those out. In fact, I do. I meet every single person that joins the company and join the onboarding, and just talk about, you know, our core values and how important they are to me, and I'm transparent with them that, hey, if these don't seem like a fit, then today is a good day to figure that out and not move forward. And, you know, we've tried to keep those simple too. We genuinely care is our first. Second is we inspire growth. And third is we have fun. All right. So I think that we haven't tried to overcomplicate it, but we've tried to be consistent and have things that are, and have core values that our people can really live out on a daily basis, versus having to try and pull up a sheet of paper and remember what they are and figure out how they're going to abide by those. So I think that's been definitely a key to our success in good times and in bad times. I think when things are difficult, what a lot of people have seen, especially, you know, with the bigger institutions, is that they have so many lines of business. We had hired one person at one point that was at a big bank, and they said, my bank has 83 lines of business. Well, that's a lot of businesses to be involved in. And with the ebbs and flows, especially the mortgage business, it can be easy to say, hey, well, that's out of favor now. We're not going to focus on that business, where this is what we do and this is what we focus on. So, you know, we're striving to always be great at it. And it's a lot easier to be great at one thing than it is to be great at 83 things. So I would say that that's a great key. Emily, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's funny, you know, kind of when we had a mission statement that was on our wall forever, and it was something I know you came up at the beginning of the company, and it's still there and speak to us, but it did have a lot of parts to it. And when we started our EOS process and we sat down, I think we had scheduled like a 2-hour meeting to figure out the core values. We're like, oh my gosh, this is going to take forever. We're never going to figure this out. And I'm pretty sure we came up with it in like 15 minutes, and we're like, is this it? You know, and it just speaks to us. It speaks to the people. And like Brian said, I mean, it's the number one thing that we live by when we're looking to grow. And as we said, when Brian and I started, we were really focusing on Virginia and North Carolina. And now being in 17 states, something that's so important is, number one, the cultural fit of that person beyond anything, beyond any of their skill set, beyond any production of a salesperson, you know, anything from a support standpoint. Do they meet those core values? And that's something that we hire by. That's something that we live by. That's something that, you know, we're constantly talking about and, you know, and referencing. And it's really key. And like Brian said, the people are the key. I don't think that we could do what we do without the phenomenal people that we have. And every day they amaze us. We were just talking in our executive team this morning, you know, about how amazing our team is and seeing the next generation continue to come and grow and just wow and help us continue to evolve is so impressive. I love it.
Yeah, to add to that, I was talking to a recruit just yesterday, and you know, all of our growth has been organic, which I think is pretty unique in our business. There's a lot of acquisitions, and you know, our theory on that is if we do an acquisition, and I'm not saying we'll never do one, but we haven't done one more than three people, because we want to make sure all of those people fit our core values. And if you're bringing on 50, 60, 100, 200 people, you know, you're going to have a lot of those people that aren't going to be a good fit. So we've just avoided that and continued to grow organically, you know, for our existence. So it's been great.
It has. And I think in these downturns, like I said, we did grow a lot, you know, through the, you know, a couple different downturns, even since I've been here. And Brian and Stan and Brian Mason have done an amazing job with the company and making sure that we have the resources to do that, you know, and the position to make sure that we are strategically looking to the future and not just living in the past. And a lot of companies make really knee-jerk reactions in tough times. And we really continue to try and be strategic to do that and find those great people right now that are maybe not in a place that they're able to thrive and get them on board.
Yeah. And, you know, you touched on it, Emily, and I want you to dig in a little bit more. You said EOS meeting. What is an EOS meeting?
Sure. Well, first of all, I will say what it is. EOS is the Entrepreneurial Operating System. And that is, Brian, you brought it to us. I don't know if you could have a little background of where it came from with YPO and bringing it to our organization. But we implemented it in 2018. I think it was game changing for us. And it's how we operate. It's how we set goals. It's how we look at our metrics. It started with, you know, creating your core values. And every single quarter, it allows us to really focus on what we need to and be proactive, not reactive. And gosh, I mean, Brian, you can probably comment to it, but I don't think if we had had this process and went into COVID, we would have been able to thrive as much as we did then and complete projects. And even now with the challenges of the market, we're continuing to evolve and grow and not having to just be reactive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge fan of it. I was introduced to by a YPO buddy of mine, and it really lets you live in quarters instead of years. So you accomplish a lot more. And I think whether you're in a crazy busy time of business, as we know we were for a big part of COVID, or in a super slow business, it still lets you focus on things that you want to achieve to take the company forward. So, you know, the old adage of, you know, you don't want to work too much in the business, you want to work on the business. The EOS process just allows you to continue to work on the business and have goals or rocks, what we call them, on a quarterly basis that you want to achieve to move the company forward. So if you're slam busy and, you know, you can barely breathe to do alone, you're still reporting every week to the executive team on these projects. And you may take a few less projects that if you are that busy, but it still allows you to move the company forward, position it better in the future. The same things when you're slow and you're trying to keep everything together, you're cutting costs or whatever have you. You know, you're still working on those big projects that are going to put you in a good position long term. So it's been, as Emily said, invaluable to us to help us in a booming market and a market that's slowed down significantly to make sure we're constantly moving forward.
Yeah, and I would say one of the other things that's been so great for us is we meet as an executive team every week for an hour and a half, and it really allows everyone to get on the same page. We talk through things, we see what's going on, because it's so easy to be in a siloed kind of world with everyone, and you're maybe all moving in a good direction, you're all working on things, but coming together and having conversations, talking through things, making sure we're on the same page is huge. I think all of us look forward to that meeting. It is like a non-negotiable on our calendar because of how valuable it is, you know, for us personally, all of our departments and the company.
And I think a lot of companies may get their whole executive team together once a quarter or, you know, or so, right? But I mean, we meet, you know, we have 52, you know, 1.5 hour meetings every week. And then every quarter we have a 2-day session. At the end of the year, we have a 3-day retreat as well. So we have 2 executive retreats. And again, it's all for us to be able to make sure we're on top of what's going on with the business currently and where we need to take it. And it's really all about positioning our people for success. because we want to make sure that we're positioning them well for, you know, what they can achieve and what their goals are, whether that's, you know, creating more business and more volume, or whether it's creating a better work-life integration, as we call it, that they can, you know, continue to do the business they're doing now, but have more time to make sure that they're at their kid's baseball game or soccer game or whatever they want to do with their life. So it's not just all work, and they can have the family time or the personal time or whatever time that they want. And that's really key. And I think that's a big difference maker, you know, for us. One of the things that I talk about a lot, when we do onboarding, is just the difference. What I think makes us different. And there's a few key things. I've got my stretch band here that I'll use from one of a prop, but
I love it.
And a lot, everyone knows this, right? In any sales organization, not just the mortgage business, there's a lot of pull back and forth. You know, sales says, hurry up, get my stuff done. Ops, like, I'm tired. I want to go home. Leave me alone. And there's just constant pull. But when everyone feels equal and everyone can pull from the same side of the rope, you know, what just happened? The tension is released, right? There's a lot less tension. And I think that's one of the things that is cool in our company, is that, you know, every group is important within. We have kind of three groups. We have corporate, ops, and sales. And as we all know, without any sales, the other two can't survive. But if you bring in a lot of sales and you're not compliant in corporate, or you don't onboard people properly, you can't make it. And if you have a lot of sales and you do a great job in compliance, but you don't close any loans on time, you know, you're not going to be successful either. So I think it's really important that all three groups work together and feel equally important. But one little slant on that is, we do ask our corporate and ops team to look at our mortgage bankers like their clients. So they don't work for them, but they look at them as our clients, just like our mortgage bankers look at our realtor referral partners or borrowers or builders or whoever. So I think it's important that dynamic changes things within our organization, and it's unlike most relationships between those three groups.
No, and I would just add to that, they are thick as thieves between those groups. I mean, you talk to mortgage bankers, and if they're in a group talking to each other and they're collaborating, they don't even want to tell some of their colleagues who their people are, because they're so close with their underwriters and their processors and their closers and even their corporate team members. They just absolutely have a respect for them from a sales side and appreciate them and are friends with them. And it's such a nice dynamic instead of like a confrontational relationship. And that's something that Brian and Stan have done an amazing job, you know, with building the company and making sure that that's there. And I think it's a big part of why we're successful and how well our team gets things done, because there isn't that tension, like you said, Brian, and whatever we do. And when there's conflict or there's problems, it doesn't become escalated, you know, because it's the mortgage business. Things go wrong. It happens. We have about a million things that can go sideways in a transaction, and it happens. But I think it's how people deal with it when that happens is what really sets you apart. And our team just jumps in and they're like, okay, how do we work on this together to get this fixed and move on?
And I think that one team approach that you guys have built is, you know, it's just phenomenal. And especially in, you know, a time where you can go on LinkedIn or you can go on social media and people are extremely negative. You are, you know, very sucked into the doom and gloom, the survive until 25 hashtags that can drive a person crazy. How are you keeping, you know, your sales team, your ops team, your corporate team, how are you keeping everyone so focused and so positive going in to this year that might not be the easiest year we've all seen?
Yeah, and I'll kind of start with that if you want, Brian. Or,
no, go ahead.
It kind of started at the beginning of this year. You know, we really, you know, went all in on a sales side on three concepts: mindset, skill set, and activities. And that is something we have preached all year. And the mindset is the first part, and that's really the hardest. You know, what happens up here is a huge reflection of everything outside. Your attitude, your enthusiasm. If you are that doom and gloom, like you said, Hannah, like, you're not going to present yourself well to any of your partners and your clients, anyone. And so we have our team that starts their day with gratitude, and we try and remember to give that gratitude out and keep that positive mindset and say, okay, let's just focus on what we can control. I can control me. I can control what I can do every day, and I can control how I elevate my skill sets and what my activities are. And that's what we focus on. I can't control interest rates. I can't control inventory. I can't control the competition. And we just have really, doubled down on that this year. And we're not going to stop that going into next year. I mean, that's so important to continue that. And it's neat, being around our sales team. They've got that passion. They've got that energy. They're coming up with ideas of how to continue to do that. You've got a great series you've worked with our team on with the Money Lab to help bring everybody together to really, elevate. And that's important. And we actually just got through doing some little videos between ops and sales about how, we had sales send in videos about how their operations and corporate team helped set them apart and how the tools that they have from our marketing team and our technology team helped set them apart. And then I loved getting the videos from the ops and corporate team back saying how much they appreciate their mortgage bankers and the relationship and working together. And we got to keep doing those things and rowing, like Brian said, together to make sure that we stay in that mindset and just don't let those external forces get to us. But in the meantime, level up, double down on our activities and make sure that we get out there and dominate.
Yeah, to add to that, Emily, I think all of it comes together from a salesperson standpoint with your pure sales approach that you've launched. And really, I think another big difference maker between us and when we first started doing this, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago, we're like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. But when the mortgage banker has the same processor, same underwriter, and same closer, they actually build a real team, right? And we have checks and balances to make sure that we, are watching for anything that might go fishy, right? But the risk of that is completely overwhelmed by the relationships that can be built and the support and the fact that, again, I was talking to a recruiter yesterday and said, we know who we are, right? So we can be really clear with you who we are. As long as you know who you are, then we can potentially make a great match because we know what we're really good at, and that's providing top producers a lifestyle while they're making a lot of money, right? There's always going to be someone that's going to pay you more. There's always going to be someone that's going to have a better rate. But if you're looking for a great life while you can make a lot of money in this amazing business, then we're a good fit for you. But it's key for you to know that and know what you want, because no one can be everything. We can't provide all the support that we provide to our mortgage bankers, having them with the same processor, same underwriter, same closer, the very top comp, the very lowest rates. That doesn't exist anywhere. You have to decide what you want, who you want to be. And I think that's something that we've done a really good job of and been consistent over the last nearly 30 years of maintaining who we wanted to be. Although people are always trying to get us to go off track, we stay focused on, what we can be really good at. And that's super important.
Exactly. I mean, that's what we say. We want professional mortgage bankers with a high mortgage IQ that want to be somewhere that they have that level of support and can be productive and happy and grow a business that they want. And that's our pure sales model, that you can focus just purely on sales and you've got a support team around you, because there's a lot of opportunity costs for time to be chasing just a couple of basis points here or there, or, in a different model, having so much, put on you that you just can't go out and focus on the things that you need to do. And that's what we kind of do, is give that level of support and genuine care, but inspiring that growth while having fun and letting people just do what they do best in this business.
Which is one of the challenges when we hire, and Emily can tell you better than me, we hire a new mortgage banker from another company. They feel like they have to be all over stuff all the time, right? Which it takes them a little while to just let go and know that our team is going to take it, because where they came from, they had to be all over stuff and they had to be yelling and screaming and, hey, I got to get this done. I got to get this done. Versus it doesn't work that way here. People are going to do their job. They're going to take care of you. We want you to focus on what you're really good at. And that is, bringing business in the door, building relationships. But that's definitely a challenge for new people coming on board. And, it's, it's funny because, you know, when Emily and I used to recruit a lot together and, you know, we were, you know, doing the same thing. People just, so that's hard to believe that that can happen in the mortgage business. It's hard to believe I can have a life, that I can have fun in this business. You know, I've resigned to the fact that I'm going to make a ton of money, but it's going to be super hard and I'm going to be miserable, right? And it doesn't have to be that way. And I think a lot of people have found that out. And again, something I tell people all the time, I think there's a lot of companies out there that are really good at hiring people. They get amazing people, but they just don't keep them because they don't, you know, they don't exceed the expectations that they set. And that's an important thing for us, is to be transparent when we bring people on, exceed their expectations, or do everything we possibly can to exceed those expectations, treat them how they want to be treated. And that's when you keep people long term, and that builds a team, it builds cohesiveness, and it builds longevity, which is what we've been able to do because we've got the most amazing team.
And you really do. And I mean, I think the awards speak for themselves. I think Atlantic Bay's won number one large mortgage company for a while. And I've been lucky enough to watch this transition of some of these new salespeople come in and go, what? Like, this happens? Like, we can support this way? We could have a whole other podcast on support. But we are, you know, closing in on time. So I do want to ask you both, going into 2024, how do either you personally or Atlantic Bay plan to lend it forward?
Emily, you start.
Let me start. All right. I know. I think 2024 is going to be a great year. And I think for me personally, you know, I just really want to continue to focus on being a good coaching leader for our team. We've got an amazing group of folks. And like I said, we're really trying to continue to create the next generation and have people evolve in their careers. And that's, you know, whether you're a mortgage banker or a leader in our company, career path is so important to me. And we're not going to stop focusing on mindset, skill set, and activities. We are not getting away from that. It's going to be a huge part of what we do to lend it forward next year. And I think the piece of that that I'm going to add to it is the accountability, is we're really going to step up our intensity and our accountability around that. And I think that that's going to continue to help it even go to another level in 2024.
Great answer. I think we're going to be a, you know, home for people that are searching for a home, a place to, you know, finish out their career. And I think we're going to be a home for people that are currently with us that want to finish out their career and be here to give them support, be positive, and just have our whole team living out our core values. I think that's truly the key for our success and long-term success. And it's you know, it's never a me. It's always an us. It's a we. It's a, you know, every person that we have adds so much value to Atlantic Bay. And that's, you know, the collaboration and the group is what makes us who we are. So I agree with Emily. I'm excited about 24. I think it's going to be a, you know, better volume year than 23. But also I think that people are going to, you know, be looking for opportunities. And as we see that already, you know, it's going to be exciting for us. And we want to be that, place for the right people and the right fit to offer them a place to finish out their career.
Awesome. Well, I'm also excited for 24 and 25 and 26 and 27. But thank you both for joining. This was phenomenal. I hope you guys are okay if we invite you back later this year.
We'd be a pleasure. It'd be our pleasure. Thank you, Hannah.
Thanks again for tuning into today's episode of the Lending Forward podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our channel, follow us on Instagram at Lending Forward, on YouTube and LinkedIn. Tune in next week for another new episode and go lend something forward today. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSconsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender and employer. Located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 100, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.